Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Talking about the issues that matter to Montana statewide. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
David Noble filling in for Aaron Flint here on Montana Talks. Whoa, got the mic a little bit hot there, folks. Sorry about that. Getting back into the swing of things here. We're live here on December 30th, 2024. Folks, if you guys missed the shows on Thursday and Friday last week, on the 26th and the 27th of December, highly recommend opening up your Apple Podcasts or your Spotify, going into the podcast, find the Montana Talks podcast, and listen to those shows with Billings City Council member Scott Aspenlighter. He had Billings City Council member Jennifer Owen on with him. He also had political rock star Jake Eaton on for quite a while. He had the U.S. Attorney Jesse Laszlovich. But Scott Aspenlighter himself did a fantastic job guest hosting the show. And he, being in the city council, being a member of the city council, and then, of course, being as knowledgeable as he is about local government and local politics because of his work as an engineer, was just so insightful and so interesting. And there's nowhere else you can get that information. And then for Scott to have Jake Eaton on, and then for Jake Eaton to be able to give us his knowledge and insight is really remarkable. It's really something. I mean, I kind of put it next to the idea that you can go onto YouTube and you can watch Alan Dershowitz videos with him talking about law and constitutional law. And you can binge Harvard Law Professor YouTube videos that are the equivalent of what he taught his Harvard Law Professor. So you can get a free Harvard Law education. Not really, but in some sense you can by getting that access. And you can also get the Montana Talks podcast and get really, really, really insightful information about what is going on in Montana politics, both at the, at the city level here in Billings, that's obviously relevant to lots of other cities because you got similar things going on, but also really, really, relevant to Montana politics. And you're just not going to be able to get that information anywhere else other than the Montana Talks podcast. So definitely check that out. We already got a call. Tom in Billings. Tom, thanks so much for calling in.
Hey, good morning. Hey, I just want the Montana Talks community to, we need to write letters and push for Charlie Loveridge to take that open slot. We need to write letters to Bill Cole. I want everybody. I mean, Aaron Flint loves him. We love him.
I love him.
Charlie Loveridge.
Yeah, so
we need Charlie.
So Tom, it sounds like you did get a chance to listen to those shows on the 26th and the 27th with Scott and Jennifer.
I did.
But weren't those great?
They were awesome.
And I didn't really know. So Tom, what my understanding is, and let me put you on hold, Tom, because we're coming up against the break. But Tom, let me see if I got this right. So because of the vacancy on the Billings City Council that was created by the domino effect of the senator resigning and then the appointment, et cetera, et cetera, under Billings City Charter, the mayor gets to appoint that new city council member, and then the city council gets to approve. And right now, we have a 5-5 city council.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. The sky stay cloudy today. We'll see periods of light snow and flurry activity with an inch or two in Bozeman, up to an inch in the Billings area. High temperatures stay around 33 in Bozeman to the mid-30s in Billings. For tonight, we're looking at some scattered snow showers and accumulations at an inch or less around the region. Lows staying around 20 in Bozeman to mid-20s in Billings. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
This is House Call for Health. Tomorrow is New Year's Eve. Many will ring in 2025 with parties or get-togethers, and there will likely be some heavy drinking going on at some of those. But drinking too much at one event or over time can have consequences on your health. The National Institute on Alcohol Abuse and Alcoholism says it can interfere with the brain's communication pathways and affect how it works and looks, which can change mood and behavior. Drinking a lot over time or one big binge session can damage the heart, causing things like cardiomyopathy, the stretching and drooping of heart muscle, arrhythmias, irregular heartbeat, stroke, and high blood pressure. It can also take a toll on your liver, pancreas, and even cause certain cancers. Drinking too much can also weaken your immune system, leaving you more at risk for disease. For more health news, go to foxnewshealth.com. House call for health from Lisa Brady, Fox News.
Hey, Merry Christmas, Happy New Year. I'll tell you what, if you're going to be traveling this holiday season, whether it's on a plane, train, or an automobile, download the Montana Talks app. Not only can you listen live through the Montana Talks app, you'll see some of the web content, some of the news and commentary pieces that we share. But if you're traveling, you're in and out of coverage, you're sleeping in, you can download all 4 hours of Montana Talks, and there's going to be some great content. David Noble, Scott Aspenlighter, and more. Download the Montana Talks app on your phone.
New year, same great savings. All in the Kroger app. Get Kroger Spiral Sliced Ham for 89 cents a pound with your card and an additional $25 purchase limit too. Then get large avocados or mangoes for 99 cents each with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
David Noble in for Aaron Flint. We're talking about the vacancy on the Billings City Council position, and we're talking to Tom in Billings. Tom, I guess, first of all, did I get that right in terms of your understanding of kind of what the process is? And then tell us, you know, what you think people in Billings here can do to support Charlie Loveridge, and I guess why you're supporting Charlie.
Well, I support Charlie because Charlie is a strong conservative choice. He's rational. He's loved throughout the city of Billings. He's a very strong Republican conservative choice. And because of the way everything has landed, Mayor Bill Cole, gets to a point. So we need to flood his office with emails, actual letters, pushing Charlie Loveridge for this position. He is the perfect candidate for this position. I've known Charlie for a couple of years. He's strong. He's rational. He is to the point, and he is Montana through and through, and he is Billings through and through. And I know that the county loves him, and I know other representatives love Charlie. I love Charlie. Charlie is by far the best choice. And Mayor Bill Cole gets to pick this one because of how things fell.
Yeah, subject to the city council's approval. Frankly, this was kind of one thing on those shows Thursday and Friday last week, Scott and Jennifer kind of laid out how this could get very, very interesting because you've basically got right now, so it's an 11-member city council here in Billings with the one vacancy. It's a 10-10 city council, five.
Correct.
And so what happens, what do you think happens? Because I don't necessarily know the answer to this, and I'm not sure anybody does. This doesn't sound like this has happened. But what happens if it just deadlocks at this? So let's say the mayor nominates Charlie Loveridge, and then it goes to the city council for approval, and the five liberals on the city council won't vote for him, and it deadlocks 5-5. I mean, where do we go from there? Do you know?
Then the mayor, who is actually the president of the city council, kind of like the vice president is the president of Congress, he gets to make the deciding vote.
Okay. So that's why it's so important that the citizens and the voters and the constituents in Billings let Bill Cole know that we want Charlie Loveridge.
Exactly. And even if I have to get Nancy from Roundup, we're going to get this done.
I love it. Well, thanks so much for the call. Really good information. Tom in Billings, appreciate that as always. You know, man, it was just... I was just blown away by the amount of knowledge that Scott and Jennifer brought to the table last Thursday and Friday. And frankly, it kind of made me feel a little bit inadequate in terms of a guest host, because I don't have that type of knowledge and information and insight that Scott and Jennifer and Jake do, because I don't do politics, you know, sort of as my day job. And so to have the opportunity on Montana Talks to hear somebody like Scott, Jennifer, Jake, to have them give us their insight on what's going on here was really eye-opening. And it's like, look, folks, you're not going to get that from me today. You're not going to get that kind of information and insight from me. But, you know, you'll get a different type of a show here. But I just wanted to say how impressed I was by it. And, man, there's so much stuff going on here in Billings that they were excited about. And is great news from the Signal Peak mine, the coal, the fact about how coal has been able to now make this big donation to get us a potential ice skating rink and rec center here in Billings is going to be helpful. The new hospital construction, other things the city council is working on. Just thought that was really, really good information. The one thing I would say about the Billings City Council, and I guess I didn't hear as much about where the spending cuts. That's what I want to know more about it from the Billings City Council. And here's the other thing, too. It's like it's so wonderful to have people like Scott and, frankly, Charlie Loveridge, too, and Jennifer Owen on the Billings City Council, because I think they made a really good point when they said, look, the Billings, you know, City Council is basically a full-time job with volunteer-type pay. But other, you can go on city council and just show up and vote. But what we really need on city council is people who are going to be able to go through the budget of the city line by line. Apparently, this all just usually comes down to like a big fight between parks and police. And it's like, do we give more money to parks? Do we give more money to police? And I'm just sitting here thinking, I'm pretty sure the city of Billings spends a lot more money on a lot of other things besides parks and police. I mean, I didn't realize the city of Billings budget is almost $500 million, $500 million. I was kind of blown away when I heard that figure. But certainly the city of Billings could find some cuts to make to spending $500 million that doesn't involve, you know, parks and police. Although I'm frankly so surprised by how wonderful our parks here in Billings are, and the trail system as well. You know, I always like to joke with Aaron Flint, because Aaron likes to make jokes about the bikers and, you know, kind of, and it's all fun because, you know, you go to places like Missoula and Portland, and everybody's on their bike and, you know, they think they own the road, and that can't, I agree, that does get it, but I love biking. And Frank, it's blown me away about especially in the West End here in Billings, we've got some trails out there on the West End that are just wonderful biking and stuff. But you know what? Why do we have to have taxpayer dollars pay for that kind of stuff when you've got people like the coal mine, Signal Peak Energy, willing to donate money? And they were talking about how Coal Strip, the community in Coal Strip, has such wonderful amenities because all that coal money. So you don't have to pay for a lot of this stuff with tax money when you allow coal. Let's go with some more coal and we can have more amenities. David Noble in for Aaron Flint.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
Is the era of sluggish electricity demand growth about to end? Here are three reasons why that will likely be the case. Data centers, electrification, and electric vehicles. Of the three, the rollout of the huge data centers needed to fuel the growth of our artificial intelligence computing, or AI, is probably the biggest game changer of the three. AI isn't talk, it's already here. And companies are pouring billions into making it grow, and it's going to take chips, processing centers, and plenty of juice from the power grid. A consortium of utilities in our region recently forecast that electricity demand will go up by about 30% in the next 10 years. That's a seismic change for a region that's seen very little growth in power demand in the last decade. Sadly, politics may interfere with the planning for this kind of change, because growing demand means building more generation and transmission, which grows the rate base. And yes, electricity rates will rise. People don't like that, or some are already preparing to fight it. I'm Patrick Barkin.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
With the Daybreak Ag Report on the Western Ag Network, I'm Wayne Northland. Well, the confusion continues for farmers, ranchers, and small business owners. Yes, I'm talking about the Corporate Transparency Act. I'm sorry, it just keeps popping up. And this controversial subject took another legal turn late last week. Now, we reported earlier last week that after a federal court put the Corporate Transparency Act on hold, that decision was overturned on December 23rd. But it was reinstated on Friday, December 26th. The enforcement of the Corporate Transparency Act is temporarily suspended, but it's not gone. Kent Backus with the National Cattlemen's Beef Association.
Headed into Christmas, really frustrated. A lot of people were nervous, very scared. And then in a pretty quick turn of events, the full Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals comes out and says, you know what? We're going to reverse course on this too, and we're going to put the injunction back in place. So immediately, the Treasury Department responded and said, okay, well, if the Fifth Circuit is going to keep this injunction, then we're not going to enforce the Corporate Transparency Act. So this roller coaster effect, which has sent so much confusion out into the countryside, fortunately, we've landed the coin on the right side right now, and it looks like we're going to have a bit of a reprieve going into this next year.
In its current form, the act requires businesses, including LLCs and partnerships, to report owner details to the government, with noncompliance risking fines over $500 per day and possible prison time.
This is something that's going to need some long-term permanent solutions. And quite frankly, we're going to need a lot of answers to questions that we don't have those answers right now. As this legal process unfolds, we're going to stay on top of this. It looks like the Fifth Circuit's not going to hear oral arguments on this until March 25th. So unless the Supreme Court intervenes between now and then I think we're going to have a little bit of a sigh of relief. But unfortunately, we've said that before and then had to come right back on and issue some corrections just because this process has been all over the place.
A big reversal from last Monday's announcement. But yes, the Corporate Transparency Act is again on hold. But it's not gone. We'll continue to monitor this situation here on the Western Ag Network.
Hi, this is Chandler Gould, National Association of Wheat Growers CEO. The 2025 Commodity Classic is headed to Denver, Colorado in March, and I'd like to personally invite you to join fellow wheat growers in America's largest farmer-led, farmer-focused agriculture and education experience. Not to mention, it's the closest it's ever been to your farm, making it even easier to attend. Register by January 15th for the best rates. Visit commodityclassic.com. Join us today in Denver, March 2nd through the 5th.
Looking for unbeatable deals on used equipment? Then look no further than CNB, your local John Deere dealer of choice. Right now on our clearance center, we've got a 2023 John Deere 8R410 tractor with 411 hours, auto track ready with ultimate comfort package and a Gen 4 display. Now clearance at just $439,000. Want to see more clearance equipment? Then head to CNB today or visit DeereEquipment.com/clearance. But don't wait. This unit won't last long.
16 U.S. presidents were farmers. The most recent being a peanut farmer from Plains, Georgia, that being President Jimmy Carter. He, of course, passed away yesterday at the age of 100. Known for his deep roots in agriculture, Carter brought a farmer's work ethic and values to the White House, advocating for rural America and sustainable farming practices. And, of course, after leaving office, dedicated his life to humanitarian efforts, leaving behind a legacy of service, humility, and compassion. Rest in peace, President Carter. I'm Wayne Northland, Western Ag Network.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
It's David Noble with a K filling in for Aaron Flint. I'm an attorney here in Billings. You can find me online on Twitch, X, YouTube, and Instagram at LectureFan, LCTRFAN. If you just can't get enough of David Noble, you can find me there. By the way, I am here just in my own personal capacity. I'm not here as an attorney. I'm not here on behalf of any client. Just here on my own free time, giving my own personal opinions. And I'm absolutely honored and humbled that you folks listen and call in. We're going to go straight to Nancy in Roundup, one of the great all-time callers. Nancy in Roundup, thanks for calling.
Well, good morning, David and Montana Talks family, and I bid you all peace and goodwill and prosperity in the year of 2025. But sadly, it seems like we're closing 2024 in some really turbulent and sad news. I'm disturbed, David, by what's going on. The Republican Party seemed to be turning on another House Speaker, Mike Johnson. And this is not good for incoming President Trump and Vice President J.D. Vance. And let me tell you why. If they do not get certified on January 6th because we don't have a speaker, that could throw a monkey wrench in the whole election. There could be somebody else step in as our president, and that would be the fourth person in line. And I am really shook up over this. I don't understand why the Republican Party has to constantly attack their speakers. And Kevin McCarthy was on Fox News all last week, and he explained. And I have to, you know, I have always admired former Speaker Kevin McCarthy. And he has picked up the pieces and moved on in his life after he was ousted. And it just upsets me very, very much because I think this is deep state that trying to do. This is the last step trying to keep Trump from getting into the Oval Office. I don't know how you feel, but I'm really disgusted with the Republican Party. So anyway, we're going to get a new Congress and Senate January 30.
Nancy, let me jump in. Let me just jump in there and ask you, Nancy, because I've seen some. I've seen some comments out there about, oh, you know, Mike Johnson's got to go. But I haven't seen that from Trump, and I haven't seen that from a lot of actual members of Congress. It's mostly coming from, I think, the commentators and stuff. Are you seeing actual leaders or actual members of Congress that are, other than, I think Thomas Massey, I take that back. Thomas Massey has come out and said he won't vote for Mike Johnson. But have you heard of anybody else besides him?
Yes, and there was a senator from, a congressman from the state of New York. Gosh darn it, I can't think of his name.
Hey, Nancy,
but he was worried about 218.
Nancy, I'm going to put you on hold real quick. I'll hold you over, Nancy, because I know that you've got some comments on January 6th, New Jersey drones. I've got some stories here, Nancy, about the January 6th issue as well. So we'll go back to Nancy right after this. And Roundup, Nancy, sorry we had to do that news break there.
No problem at all. We have to have a House Speaker. I mean, if they oust Mike Johnson, they have actually nobody even else in mind to take his place. He has been a superb speaker. He has been up against a lot of odds against him, and he's done very well. He has a very strong moral compass. And I believe that he is truly, as a speaker, could unite the Republican Party. And we have to have him. Trump needs him. And I just don't understand their opposition to Mike Johnson, where they have to always fight against our House speakers. Leave it alone. After the election, once Trump gets certified and we have the inauguration, then they can make some changes. You know what I'm saying? They can take it up front. They can battle on the floor. But right now, we've got to have a House Speaker. We've got to have Mike Johnson, and that's my final word on that. Okay. And I just want to talk. I have friends that live in Hillsborough, New Jersey. It's a beautiful town of about 16,000 people on the west end of the state. They're telling me that since the drones have been flying over the state, people are getting sick, that there's countless people going to hospitals and clinics. And that was always one of my basic worries from the very beginning of these drones invading our country. I had thought that might be a way of spreading diseases, and it may have done this. I don't know. And there's talk that there's a possible another pandemic for 2025. And, you know, I had kept my thoughts to myself because I didn't want it to alarm or sound crazy, you know what I'm saying? But what the Chinese did with Wuhan, I mean, look what Xi did with that. And it wouldn't be beyond him to do something like this. But just to let you know that there's people getting very, very ill in the state of New Jersey, according to my friends. And just wildlife dropping dead everywhere from bird flu. And, David, I'm very, very concerned and worried about this. So I don't know. This is a hell of a way to end 2024. And,
so bird flu. Nancy, let me just jump in here for a second, and then I want to ask you about some January 6th stuff. But the bird flu thing is, I couldn't believe it. Yesterday, watching the Sunday shows, I click on Meet the Press. You know, I watch that, folks, so you guys don't have to. Clicked on Meet the Press. They put it up on YouTube, by the way, later in the day. Not worth watching. FYI. But I did click on it. And they've got some doctor on as their primary guest talking about how, we're going to have the bird flu pandemic, and then it's also going to be a COVID pandemic, and then there's going to be like cross-reactive, like virus things happening where you're going to get like this mutated cross-virus between COVID and bird flu, and oh my goodness, we're going to need to do a lockdown. And they're talking about how we need to massively ramp up testing for bird flu. These people are not, they want another pandemic. It seems like they want another pandemic. It really did seem that way. Nancy, we're up against another break. If you got time, Nancy, hold over. I know you got some more to say. We'll be right back.
And call 1-888-FREEDOM or visit ConsumerCellular.com.
Taxes, fees, and other third-party charges will apply. See website for additional details.
This is where Montana talks.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
David Noble filling in for Aaron Flint live here on December 30th. We're going to be live again tomorrow as well before Aaron makes his return here in 2025. But we're talking to Nancy in Roundup. Nancy, I think the producer had noted you had one other comment about January 6th. Is that right?
Well, I just wanted to say, will the Freedom Caucus get 218 votes? And they keep talking about ousting Mike Johnson, and I don't understand why. The timing is absolutely horrible. They know what this could mean for elected President Trump. If we don't have a speaker, David, there's not going to be a January 6th. And I'm very, very concerned. I wish the Republican Party would just stop their nonsense and unite, and they can always work things out after Trump advanced, gets certified and move on to the inauguration, you know, on January 20th. We're so close, David. It's really making me angry that they would even suggest doing something like this right now. But I don't know. I'm praying. I don't know. I still think deep state is behind us, and there's a lot of sellouts in the Republican Party. It could be their final way of trying to keep Trump from re-entering the Oval Office. And it's just terrible, terrible, terrible news for each and every one of us right now. Not now. I mean, we're so close.
I agree, Nancy. Well said, Nancy. Really appreciate the phone call, Nancy. I think you make a really good point. In fact, I saw something this morning from Representative Mike Lawler, Republican out of New York. He said just yesterday that Representative Mike Johnson will be reelected Speaker of the House because nobody in the Freedom Caucus could get 218 votes needed. Now, look, I mean, this is such a difficult proposition on all these issues, not just the speaker fight, but also the CR and the debt limit and everything else. And you've got competing sort of priorities. On one hand, yes, Donald Trump has been elected. We need to unify behind him. We need to do what we should be a party. We should work together to accomplish his mandate and his goals that the American people endorse by electing him president, et cetera, et cetera. And then part of that, it involves being a team player, right? Being on the team, helping out the team. On the other hand, you've got these representatives out there, you know, people like Thomas Massie, people like Matt Rosendale, who made a promise to their constituents, and they said, they promised, when they were running for office, these representatives promised their voters, I will never vote for a debt limit increase, a CR, or an omnibus package unless there is massive, massive across-the-board spending cuts that put us on a path towards fiscal sustainability, period. And frankly, if I were to ever go to Congress, that would be my sort of mindset too. I'm not going to Washington to sit there and stamp approvals on omnibuses and CRs and debt limit increases and everything else, right? And so now you've got sort of those competing interests. On the one hand, you've got these very, very conservative members of Congress who've made promises to their voters that say, I promise I will not vote for this garbage anymore. And that's why people sent people like Matt Rosendale and Thomas Massie and the other folks to Congress. Okay, so there's that. There's that. And then on the other hand, you've got, you know, hey, we got to be a team player. And you're one person out of a huge group. And here's where the problem becomes. Okay, so let's say you're Thomas Massie. And you're not going to vote for any of those bills. And then you take it even a step further and you say, oh, and also, I will not vote for a Speaker of the House if that Speaker is a Republican who has passed CRs and omnibuses and debt limit increases over the objections of a majority of the Republican members of the House and by utilizing Democrat votes. Okay? Again, that's a kind of a reasonable position because you'd only want Republican speakers of the House to put up to vote and to pass bills that are vote that have a majority of the majority, right? A majority of the Republicans. When you have a Republican speaker working with the Democrats to pass blowout spending packages in line with Chuck Schumer and Nancy Pelosi's priorities over the objection and the no votes of a majority of Congress members, you're going to have people that are upset. You're going to have Congress members that are not very happy. You're going to have Congress members that do not want to vote for you for Speaker again. But then on the other hand, I think Nancy's right. Okay, it's like, okay, you boot Mike Johnson out. Okay, what do you do then? You put up Thomas Massie for Speaker. He's not going to get the votes. You put up a Democrat. There's not a great solution there. And then it does cause chaos. And we do need to certify the election a couple days after the new Congress is seated. So there's all these different sort of competing priorities and sort of you understand kind of where everybody's coming from. I think the way to add to this solution is for the conservative, the very, very conservative members of Congress have to recognize the unfortunate reality that you're not going to get a better speaker than Mike Johnson. You just aren't. As much as we would like to. And I understand you want to stand on principle and not vote for Mike Johnson because you've made a promise to whoever to never vote for a Republican speaker if that Republican speaker has done the things that Johnson I get that. But on the other hand, what are you going to accomplish? You know, so you have to look at political reality in these situations, and it's like, you know, I really respect people like Thomas Massie and Matt Rosendale who won't vote for these things that go against their values and principles. I do. I mean, I have a lot of respect for that. But when it causes all of these problems and the political reality is such that you're not actually going to accomplish anything, then it doesn't make sense to do it. It really just doesn't. And I think Representative Mike Lawler, Republican out of New York, I think he makes a good point here. He was asked by ABC News yesterday by Jonathan Carl, Democrat operative, by the way, who parades as an independent, nonpartisan journalist. First of all, let's start right there with Mike Johnson. Does he get reelected Speaker of the House? Should he be? And Representative Lawler said, yes and yes. The fact is Mike Johnson inherited a disaster when Matt Gaetz and several of my colleagues teamed up with 208 Democrats to remove Kevin McCarthy, which will go down as the single stupidest thing I've ever seen in politics. With that said, removing Mike Johnson would equally be as stupid. The fact is that these folks are playing with fire. If they think they're somehow going to get a more conservative speaker, they're kidding themselves. Mike Johnson is arguably the most conservative speaker that's ever been elected to the office. He's done a great job keeping the conference unified, getting major things off the plate, ultimately keeping the majority, which frankly, despite the best efforts of some of these same people that are now calling for Johnson's removal, we held on to the House because of seats like mine. Again, New York seats. He says the bottom line is this. Trump has been given a mandate. He's been given majorities, and we have a lot of work to do. And so, I don't know. I think he makes a pretty decent point here, which is that you're not going to get a more conservative position. And saying, here's the other thing, too, right? Okay, you got rid of Kevin McCarthy. What did you accomplish? Where are we today? Is Mike Johnson better than Kevin McCarthy? Did Mike Johnson not pass the yards and omnibuses?
Waking up on the right side. This is the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
He considered this guy bombing Manhattan and penned sick to-do list before shooting this healthcare CEO. The amount of support is sick. You know, his capture draws boos from the Daily Show audience. Hashtag free Luigi trends as support surges for the murder suspect. Wanted posters of top health CEOs appear in New York City. Yeah, I mean, it's crazy. And then you have a UPenn professor hiding social media after a celebratory post of the murder of this guy. And then they're going after the Altoona McDonald's that identified the guy and did the right thing. Unbelievable.
From coast to coast, from sea to shining sea, it's the Sean Hannity Show.
Hey, you exhausted every day, maybe you have the 3 p.m. crash or struggling with memory issues, having a hard time focusing. You have to stop and pay attention to what I'm about to tell you. I never run out of energy and I'm fully focused. Strong Cell, it's a revolutionary supplement that has truly changed my life. I use it every single day. It gives you natural energy, helps me stay focused all day long, and just makes me feel better overall. Whether you're a working mom or dad or homeschooling your kids or some of our loyal men and women behind the wheel across the country, try Strong Cell. It'll change your life. Linda uses it as well.
I use it every single day. I have my kids using it, my parents using it, my in-laws using it, my friends using it. And I am telling you, it is immediate. It is one of the only ways you can get NADH on the market. And it works.
Go to HannityStrong.com. Use promo code Hannity. You get a special 20% off any order. Once again, HannityStrong.com. And Strong Cell believes in their product so much, you get a 60-day no-risk policy. Invest in your health. I did it. It changed my life. My life.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. The skies stay cloudy today. We'll see periods of light snow and flurry activity with an inch or two in Bozeman, up to an inch in the Billings area. High temperatures stay around 33 in Bozeman to the mid-30s in Billings. For tonight, we're looking at some scattered snow showers and accumulations at an inch or less around the region. Lows stay around 20 in Bozeman to mid-20s in Billings. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
Hey, Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. I'll tell you what, if you're going to be traveling this holiday season, whether it's on a plane, train, or an automobile, download the Montana Talks app. Not only can you listen live through the Montana Talks app, you'll see some of the web content, some of the news and commentary pieces that we share. But if you're traveling, you're in and out of coverage, you're sleeping in, you can download all 4 hours of Montana.
Taxes, fees, and other third-party charges will apply. See website for additional details.
Brought to you from the Hot Springs Spas and Hot Tub Company, Friends Recommend Studio. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
This is where Montana talks.
Open phones all hour long. I don't know if we're going to have Evelyn Pyburn joining us at the 7 o'clock hour, which is usual for a Monday. I hope she calls in. If not, I do have the Big Sky Business Journal hot sheet ready to go. Also, taking messages on the Montana Talks app. The best way to listen to the show, in my opinion, if you don't have a radio in your bedroom or your office or whatever, just open up the Montana Talks app and click Listen Live. Send us a message on there or call in 406-294-0970, 406-294-0970. Right on John in Bozeman says, yes, we love you too, David with the K. Yes, Scott helped me by saying to contact the Department of Energy and our Congress people to help bring my advanced energy to Montana. But then you opened my eyes to contact the coal companies and Colstrip to advance coal with my tech. They could help to fund what I have to make coal better. Thanks, David. You are special too, with a K. Thank you, right on, John. Very much appreciate that. Kat in Sydney sends a message. She says, I want to assure Nancy from Roundup that I am pretty plugged into the D.C. pipeline. I believe Mike Johnson will be stat as Speaker of the House because nobody has heard any rumblings about ousting him, even though the Republicans are doing some infighting. Mike is projected to be Speaker. I'm not always right about any means, but it's looking like Mike will remain Speaker, so I hope that helps Nancy feel a tad better. Good morning, David in Montana. Thank you, Kat in Sydney. Appreciate that. Yeah, I mean, I'm the only one I know for sure is going to vote no is Thomas Massie, Representative Thomas Massie. I don't know. I think they can still elect Mike Johnson if all the other Republicans vote for him. I don't know where they're at, though. But, yeah, I mean, it is a concern. The last thing we need is some massive, you know, drawn-out, drag-out fight amongst the Republicans here to start the 2025 term or whatever they want to call it. But that's the last thing we need. And frankly, it's like I would be potentially in favor of having that fight if I thought there could be actual results. We haven't seen anything. We haven't seen any results from getting rid of McCarthy. Now, look, if we had gone through the McCarthy thing and ousted McCarthy and got Mike Johnson in, and then Mike Johnson said, nope, we're not passing any CRs or omnibuses or debt limit deals unless, number one, it puts us on a path towards balancing the budget and having a budget surplus. And then number two, if it has a majority of the Republicans in Congress. And let's say we ended up with the government shutdown. We had a government shutdown for a couple of months, and then the Democrats caved, and the Democrats agreed, or Joe Biden caved, and Joe Biden agreed to sign whatever bill, you know, the Republican Congress had passed that would have massive spending cuts, et cetera, et cetera. And we achieved legislative success under Mike Johnson. And we had massive, massive spending cuts under Mike Johnson in 2024. And if getting rid of McCarthy and putting in place Mike Johnson had resulted in a balanced budget, then of course, then, you know, nobody would be talking about getting rid of Mike Johnson. But remember, folks, the guys that wanted to get rid of McCarthy wanted Mike Johnson because Mike Johnson is actually very conservative. And so I think the problem is political reality. You could have the most conservative Speaker of the House on planet Earth, and he's not going to be able to balance the budget because of the political reality of Joe Biden in the White House and Democrats control the Senate, et cetera, et cetera. So, unfortunately, I think we just need more conservative members of Congress. That'd fix it.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
Is the era of sluggish electricity demand growth about to end? There are three reasons why that will likely be the case. Data centers, electrification, and electric vehicles. Of the three, the rollout of the huge data centers needed to fuel the growth of our artificial intelligence computing, or AI, is probably the biggest game changer of the three. AI isn't talk, it's already here. And companies are pouring billions into making it grow, and it's going to take chips, processing centers, and plenty of juice from the power grid. A consortium of utilities in our region recently forecast that electricity demand will go up by about 30% in the next 10 years. That's a seismic change for a region that's seen very little growth in power demand the last decade. Sadly, politics may interfere with the planning for this kind of change, because growing demand means building more generation and transmission, which grows the rate base, and yes, electricity rates will rise. People don't like that, or some are already preparing to fight it. I'm Patrick Barkey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.